Hello, my name is Greg Bender. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus tells his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is a direct command from Jesus for this public display of identifying with him. In Acts chapter 2, Peter had just finished preaching the gospel to a group of people. After hearing this, the people were broken by their sin. Verse 37 says they were pierced of their heart. They asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do now?" Peter replied in verse 38, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There were 3,000 people that day who received his word and were baptized in public. I am here today, broken by my sin against a good and holy God, who deserves my praise and adoration, to be obedient to his command, to be baptized following the example of those first 3,000 converts and Christ himself, who was baptized by John the Baptist, and proclaim him to be my Lord and Savior. I was born into a Catholic family and baptized around the age of 4 weeks. Growing up, our family attended church every Sunday. I attended Catholic school in my early years and public school later on. I took catechism classes, was an altar boy, and completed the sacraments of confession, reconciliation, Holy Communion, and confirmation. I was taught and truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God who became man, was crucified, died and buried, then rose from the dead for my sake to forgive me of my sins. I thought I was a pretty good kid most of the time, and after all, I was covered by those sacraments I had completed. Now all I needed to do was to be a good person and try not to commit any sins. But if I did, then Saturday night confession and penance would cover me for another week. Even as a kid, it didn't take me long to figure out that I could commit as many sins as I wanted from Sunday after church until Saturday night confession. After confession and penance, I only had to be sinless for about 16 hours before I could participate in Holy Communion. And then I couldn't even do that. I would find myself fighting with my sister on the car ride home from confession because I wanted to sit in the front seat. Then the next morning, while still steaming at her, I would take communion anyway. When I was 15, we moved here from Ohio. That move created some tension in the family, and Sunday church attendance became less and less frequent. Eventually, I stopped attending. I met Cindy in high school, and we eloped soon after we graduated. 2 years later, we started a family, and over the next 7 years, our three lovely daughters, Amy, Jody, and Mindy, were born. As we were raising our girls, Cindy began asking me about going to church and about Catholicism. I was stumped and couldn't tell her much. My parents were attending a Catholic church nearby, and we decided to start attending there. Cindy and the girls were baptized. We received the sacrament of marriage in the church, and then I found myself back in the old ritual of my earlier years, going to church, still sinning, still going to confession, but starting to think confession wasn't even necessary. Eventually, our church attendance lessened until finally we just stopped going. I was not the spiritual leader God calls husbands and fathers to be. Fast forward to 2007, 2008. Cindy's sister and husband, Janice and Bob, gave us a study Bible and invited us to go with them to their Bible church. Having not been encouraged to read or study God's word when I was growing up, my first thought when I saw the Bible was, "This is really nice, but what am I going to do with it?" Cindy was enthusiastic to attend church with Janice and Bob, but I was reluctant and suggested if we were going to start going to church again, we should find a Catholic church. She agreed, and we tried a couple of Catholic churches but didn't like them. I finally decided to give Janice and Bob's church a try. That day, I heard God's word preached for the very first time in my life. It was absolutely amazing, but it wasn't enough to weaken the want of stained glass windows, prayer candles, statues of Mary and the saints, and the vestments worn by the priest that I had grown so accustomed to. We tried a few other Catholic churches, and occasionally we would go with Janice and Bob to their church. The more often we went to the Bible church, the more I started to desire hearing God's word taught, and the ornamentation that I was so accustomed to became less important. Finally, Cindy and I made the decision to faithfully attend the Bible church, and we became members. At that time, I was encouraged to join a group of men who met early Tuesday mornings for a Bible study at a coffee shop near our home. One morning, the conversation turned to the topic of the head pastor being a five-point Calvinist. I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't ask, but I did go to the church bookstore, and I asked if they had any books on Calvinism. I purchased The Five Points of Calvinism and began reading. Not agreeing with what I was reading, I set the book aside. Yes, I understand that I am a sinner, but total depravity? The author was trying to convince me that I am totally depraved, natural-born sinner, and quoted these verses, among others. Romans 3:10-12, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I recall thinking that these verses did not apply to me. They told me I was in bondage to my sin. I was without the ability to change myself. But yet for years I had been reading motivational speakers, and they said I could change. And besides, I am a good person. Then I thought, I was 50 years old, I actually thought this, maybe I should keep a running total of the good and bad things about me. When I present the list to God at the gates of heaven, he will see that I am a good person, and he will have no choice but to let me in. Then I read this thing about election. The verses in the book seem endless. Psalm 33:12 states, the people whom he has chosen. Haggai 2:23, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now the author is telling me I have nothing to do with my salvation, that my good and bad list is worthless. I had enough, and I shelved the book, but for some reason I kept wanting to pull the book from the shelf and start reading again. I didn't realize then, but now believe it was God's irresistible grace gently tugging and pulling me towards him. I started reading again from the beginning, T for total depravity, and still not convinced, I had this aha moment. I remembered that the author of the Five Points of Calvinism book I was reading was a man, not God. I didn't know the Bible well enough to discern if he was accurately quoting scripture. And I did have the belief that the Bible is written by God and is true. So my plan was to check every verse quoted in the book against the Bible and put this nonsense to an end. I was not prepared for what I discovered. The first book I read, the first verse I checked, the wicked are estranged from the womb, they go astray from birth, speaking lies. And there it was, right in the psalm. It was God's word. And then I thought, this isn't going to go well. And it didn't. Well, I mean, it did. I started thinking about that verse and wondered, who teaches their two-year-old child to grab a toy from another child and scream mine or bite or throw temper tantrums? Nobody that I know does this, so where does that come from? That's total depravity. That's a natural-born sinner. As I slowly worked my way through the book, comparing verses with the Bible, God started revealing to me my true nature. I am a natural-born sinner. I don't have the ability to save myself. My will is not free. It is in bondage to sin and Satan. My best days are like filthy rags compared to God's righteousness. Did I choose God, or did he choose me? God convicted me of the worldly things that I had pursued and treasured and put before him. He was always last on that list, if he was even on it at all. Anytime I thought about God, it was not me. It was God reminding me that he was still there and using his effectual call of the Holy Spirit to work on my heart and call me to him. He reminded me that even though I lived in sin and ignored him, he poured his wrath out on his own son, Jesus Christ, so that I may be redeemed, Galatians 3:13. So that our sins are forgiven, Ephesians 1:7. So that I was freed from the slavery of sin, Romans 6:14. And so that I would be righteous before God. I did not discover these truths on my own. God revealed them to me in his own time and in his own way. It is his mercy and grace that saved me. I was humbly brought to my knees in confession, repentance, praise, and gratitude for this undeserving gift. I am ready and excited to be baptized, declare my dependence on Jesus Christ, and proclaim him to be my Lord and Savior.